Podtacular episode 401, Brevet Mutation for December 5th, 2013. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
We are back after a hiatus from Thanksgiving, at least for us in the States, which was very nice. It was good to have a nice little break, so to speak. So, Brent, how was your Thanksgiving? How was the time off from the podcast and spending time, a little bit more importantly, with friends and family? Which
well,
we need to do probably on a little
disputable.
More often, but...
I enjoy being with my family, and it was a good Thanksgiving, but I enjoy being on the podcast, too. This kind of gives me something to look forward to during the week. I love being on the show, so it's not really like a job for me or anything. It's, I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It was good to take a break, though. We hadn't had one of those in a while.
Yeah, and it was also, you're on the production end of things, too. You actually have to put out the episode after I sit here and record it with you. So I have
true.
The easy part of the job.
That is true. Well, you do go through some pretty bad grammar sometimes when putting up the show notes, so...
Well, that takes all of, 4 minutes to accomplish. Just go through there and kind of sweep it up, but...
Yeah,
it was nice. I enjoyed Thanksgiving. How about yours, Dusty?
Mine was pretty good. It was a little uneventful for the most part, but I had a good chance to just kind of sit back, relax, take some time off of work, take some time off of the podcast, and got to spend time with some friends here and did a Thanksgiving meal on Sunday, the weekend before Thanksgiving, and then went out with a family of a coworker and went there for dinner on Thursday. So it was pretty good. Good food, good friends, good times, and just a good chance to get away from everything for a little bit. But it's good to be back on the podcast. It's nice to be back behind the microphone, reading the news to you guys, and looking forward to some new things coming down the pipeline with Podtacular, being the first episode of our next 100 episode, which is going to be oh so fantastic. Cannot wait to see what's going to be coming down the pipeline for us in the future. Got some things planned up for you guys, definitely, to talk about in this episode. We talked about some stuff in episode 400 that we are currently doing, and I have some updates on that for you guys, which we'll hit here in a few minutes, and got some new stuff to talk about as well. So there's going to be lots of changes coming to Podtacular, hopefully for the better, hopefully to kind of give you guys a little bit more community feel, so to speak. So looking forward to that. We have a guest with us today, though, for a very special occasion, which we will talk about a little bit later in the show, but want to go ahead and bring him back in. Most of you guys listening probably have heard him. He's been on the show numerous times, so we're going to welcome back Jackfire Dragon. Welcome back to the show.
Yay, finally. When was my last, when was the last podcast I was in?
I honestly don't remember when the last podcast
was. I think it probably
was
the one when we were doing the Halo Moles. That'd be 368, wouldn't it?
Probably.
Well, yeah, it was quite a while ago.
So, the announcement of a little project that Jack and I have been working on for almost a year now. Well, you've been working on it for almost a year. I've been working on it for, about 8 months? Does that sound about right? It sounds about right to me. So, but we got some pretty cool stuff that we've been working on with that, and we've been putting out videos with contestants, information, and everything. So, I've been hard at work on the production of the thing, and he's been helping me out with a lot of the smaller things to go into the bigger production, and we're hoping that will be kind of a big thing that people will really latch onto in terms of Halo Machinima type things. So really looking forward to talking about that a little bit later on as well. But of course, we need to catch up on some Waypoint news that we've been missing over the past 2 weeks since we have been away for a little while. First up, of course, we're going to kind of take a step back to the Thanksgiving edition of the Halo Bulletin. So kind of going back to a week and a half ago, we got some things, and most of this stuff will not be relevant because a lot of it is specifically Thanksgiving focused. So some of the stuff that we will be discussing in it obviously will kind of have already come and gone. But for the most part, we still want to cover it just for the little things that are still kind of relevant to us. And one of those being, of course, the top 200 for the Team Slayer, which we have the results for the first week in this week's bulletin. But last week, they kind of went through some of the details on how things will be shown based on the whole ranking thing for the top 10. The top 200 players. So we have the first week of that, which we'll get to in this week's bulletin, which has some pretty interesting results to it. But as far as what the Team Slayer top 200 is, they've reset the ranks for the CSR, for the Team Slayer playlist, and they've changed up how the system works to kind of help track these people that are going to be going into the Team Slayer playlist. So if you want your want to be kind of featured in a top list of some pretty good, or to be considered some pretty good Halo players, and you want to kind of drop into the Team Slayer playlist and get some Team Slayer games going on for you guys. So we have a little bit more information for the bulletin this week, so we're going to kind of breeze over that. For Thanksgiving, Waypoint had a special playlist that they had going on, and it was kind of a spin-off of Ricochet to kind of highlight some football stuff, because we know a lot of Americans like to watch their football during Thanksgiving and during that Thanksgiving week. So,
and for British people.
And British people, I guess.
That's but all I did on Thanksgiving.
Not Thanksgiving over there.
If that's all I did on Thanksgiving was watch NFL.
True. I guess that's true. But, I mean, it's Turkey Bowl. So, Turkey Thanksgiving, you know. I guess, yes. If you want to include everyone that watches football, then yes. It wouldn't be specifically U.S. and U.K.
Yeah, come on.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
But, so, 343 had a special playlist up for that. And it was one court, and they had some kind of specialized loadouts that you could use as well. And this playlist was available from November 28th to December 2nd, so the entire Thanksgiving weekend, which was an interesting experience. It was the field for the Turkey Bowl was just a bunch of Dominion shields on one of the Forge Islands. Should have thought a better way to say that first, but it was interesting for about two or three rounds, and then just kind of got boring personally. But it was an interesting kind of twist on things for having football kind of integrated into Halo, or at least the best that they could, because you obviously can't integrate football quite as easily. You could still shoot people. It wasn't all where it was just melee and tackle and all that stuff, and you had Dominion doors that would kind of help block people from shooting you just from every which way possible. So you kind of had to navigate with your team in and out of these Dominion shields to kind of get from the center where the ball would spawn all the way to the opponent's goal line, and you would get a touchdown. You wouldn't be able to throw it or kick it, so to speak. You had to actually run it in to score. So it was an interesting concept.
Could you actually throw the ball? I'm not throw the ball into the goal, but could you actually throw the ball at all?
Yeah, you could throw the ball.
Because, I mean, I never came across anyone who threw the ball. Literally, people just picked up the ball and just ran with it. People forgot that it was pretty much Ricochet, and they just ran with the ball, like Oddball or Griffball, into the end zone. And it got really, really annoying, because no one would actually throw the ball in any game I played.
Well, and it got to the point where if you kind of knew how to crouch around some of the shield, you could get from the ball spawn to the other side if you kind of knew how to zigzag in and out, and if your teammates were actually helping you quite a bit. I do remember one game I was playing in, I actually did pass it to another teammate on my team. He ran flanked and I threw it over the shield walls, and we got a touchdown that way.
Mm.
So yeah, you could still throw it, and you could still shoot people normally like you can in like normal Ricochet. But the big difference was the core, obviously, that was specifically designed for this, and then you have it to where you can only do touchdowns only.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I still prefer Extreme Frisbee, the game type where you do it custom games. I find that much better than this one.
Yeah, I would say that's a lot more fun in this case. But, I mean, as far as trying to make something that's... As far as making it something to where it's more like football, this was kind of close.
It was close, but it needs to be, tweaked with to really get it to work properly. Because I think the best thing was, because You didn't have to be specific. Like, people didn't have to pick one of each category. Everyone would just pick one thing.
Well, I kind of went back and forth between a couple of them.
You might have done, but most people found their loadout, which is probably the one with the BR, and just stayed with it. And it'd get
the loadout that was used most was linemen with the assault rifle.
Oh, really? I'd use a BR.
Because with all the Dominion shields, a lot of your mid to long range battles were cut off, so you just went with the assault rifle, which you could just mow down people with.
But I mean, that's what I mean. I think what you should have done is, in a team of four, one had to be quarterback, one had to be lineman, one had to be wide receiver, one had to be linebacker. You should have made one of each. Like, actually force someone to pick one.
Well, you can't exactly enforce that.
I know, but you know, that's the way to do it better next time. That way you actually have specific roles that people do.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting thing to toy with the Halo engine, is making it to where you have certain loadouts that will be tied to a specific player.
Hmm.
So, it's limitations of the game, of course. And it was cool to see what they could do with it. I personally think if they kind of reached out a little bit more to the community, they probably could have come up with a little bit more fun court to play on, or at least have a variety of courts to play on instead of just the one over and over again. I think that's personally for me what doled the experience out the quickest. But as far as just seeing what 343 could do with Ricochet and make it seem like football, it was pretty cool. It was an interesting concept. So I'm guessing you got to play some of it, Jack.
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't stay long in it because to be honest, like I said, it was a good attempt, but I just prefer standard Ricochet because I couldn't really call it Ricochet because, you know, yes, you could throw the ball, but I never experienced anyone throwing the ball, and all you're doing is walking it into the goal. So effectively, it just turned into kind of like a gun version of Griff Ball rather than Ricochet. Because no one would throw the ball, and you just ran the ball into your goal, which is just Griff Ball, really.
Yeah, it was kind of like a middle ground in a sense.
Yeah, it pretty much was. Because, I really love Ricochet, and I think we still need to see some really good custom forge maps of Ricochet goals actually in the air. I would love to see that, to be honest.
Right. I think the Ricochet game types and the forging system that we have for Ricochet just needs to be explored more, personally.
Yeah, it does, but there aren't many people left in Halo that are really doing that anymore, unfortunately.
Well, there's always room for it.
There's a few people, but you know. Yeah.
Brent, what about you? Did you have a chance to hop online and play some Turkey Bowl?
Nah, I didn't, unfortunately.
That's too bad.
So I can't really comment on it.
Well, I saved the game type in the map, so we'll probably throw it in a Wacky Wednesday every now and then.
Wacky Wednesday!
Because we have plenty of other bowl games for football coming up, so we might as well just save that one for a little while later.
I feel like Ricochet was like their attempt at putting football into Halo. But then they understood that you can't just completely transfer the rules of football over into Halo. It just doesn't work right. So that's as close as they could get to the spirit of football.
Right. Well, Child of Oblivion said in the chat that the shields reminded him of play scrimmages. So, like, whenever you get to one shield, it'd be like a down or something, I'm guessing.
I'm just talking about just the game type in general. When they went to make Ricochet as a new thing for the Champions bundle.
Well, yeah, and
so I'm saying they're like trying to make a football variant of a game type that was supposed to be a variation of football, kind of.
Yeah, something that's kind of a spin-off of it. But I mean, a lot of people, when Ricochet was first announced, it was the middle ground between regular Halo and Griffball, which, if you look at it, it kind of is. It's, you have the ball that spawns in the middle, you take it to the other side, and you have guns. It's, I guess, more closely tied to assault in that way. Except you don't have the arm time or the detonation time or the slowness of having to carry a bomb.
I mean, personally for me, it would have been interesting if the competitive side, you know, MOG, AGL, was still going at this point, whether Ricochet would have been implemented to maybe take over and be like an objective game type that they implemented into the competitive game side. Because I know a lot of the pros kind of liked it. So, I would have liked to have seen that. see how actually pro players, you know, approach that. Like proper strats and things.
I mean, I'm not to hit on 343 or anyone else that kind of really sees Ricochet as this kind of shining new beacon of hope for competitive Halo, but it very closely resembles Assault.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
It's basically instant arm detonation assault is what it is.
Hmm.
So...
Except you don't die from the explosion.
Well, that too. But if you look at it, though, Assault was liked by a lot of pro players, too.
It was, but then it wasn't very entertaining to watch. It was obviously entertaining to play, but not entertaining to watch, because you got these big standoffs. But with Ricochet, the difference in that is that you could throw the ball, and from being one side... Throwing the ball really just changes and makes it so much more entertaining.
It does. It adds a new dynamic to... If you look at it from an Assault variant, yeah, it adds a totally new dynamic to that.
And I certainly hope that they bring that to bring that back in Halo 5 in some form.
Well, they were looking at it when AGL was still around. They were looking at bringing it into the circuit as a game type to be in there. But I mean, there's a competitive Halo Ricochet setting that was made by Ghost Ayame. I mean, he went out and made a V5 setting for Ricochet. So as far as like having the possibility of being adopted by a competitive, it's totally there.
Well, it's not and really a lot of people, anymore,
well, not for Halo 4, no.
No, I mean Halo 3 is going to have an event, and that's going to be probably the last Halo event before Halo 5.
Yeah, I feel a little awkward about that, to be honest.
It's that one. I mean, not to get too sidetracked. It's almost like we're saying. It's almost like because I don't think it should be, but it's almost like a middle finger to 343, especially just saying, like, your game was good enough to be competitive. We're going to go back. We're going to take a step back here. And it's not looking forward to Halo 5. If you want to not do competitive Halo 4 anymore, fine. But don't go back and do Halo 3.
That's...
Don't do Halo 4. And then
but that's not necessarily true. I mean, they're speaking with... Well, no, they're speaking to 343. I mean, this is them voicing their opinion. It's like... We like the game that 343, that Halo 3 was and not Halo 4. They like how the multiplayer system in Halo 3 works.
Well, they said that about Reach.
But yeah, but people stayed around for Reach.
Not for the competitive side, they didn't, really. I know, but you're going to competitive
as far as
side. No, they really didn't. The numbers just dramatically dropped. And that's why MOG ended up dropping it from the circuit.
You know, there have been plenty of arguments, though, from people across the board for Halo 4 not being up to par for a multiplayer experience. That I personally haven't seen from the migration from Halo 2 to Halo 3 and Halo 3 to Halo Reach.
Mm.
It hasn't been as unanimously voiced across so many different kinds of Halo communities of the issues in Halo 4, where going from Halo... 3 to Halo Reach, it was still very much supported by a lot of the Halo fans and the community, where when going to Halo 4, a lot of those communities kind of dropped off support for it. So it makes sense to go back to the thing that people were very comfortable with in terms of a multiplayer experience and say, hey, 343, this is the game we're playing, this is the game we kind of want you to go back to, make it happen with Halo 5.
But, I mean, if you're a company like 343, are you really going to take that much of a step back and just... Cause, I mean, what would you do, for example, if Halo 5 pretty much had pretty much identical multiplayer to Halo 3, but with updated graphics? I mean, would you just go, this is fun again, or would you just say, well, you took the easy option, didn't you? You know, this is not really a new game. I'll go back playing Halo 3, really.
So what do gamers want, though?
I mean, that's the problem. What do they want? You know, you complain about stuff, but then you say this stuff is great, but... You know, it's hard.
Well, I mean, personally, I think Halo 3 was more popular just because it's more simple. Anytime you can have a more simple system, it attracts more people.
But the thing is,
with Halo 4, you've got two extra games where they added on their own stuff. I mean, Halo Reach kind of messed it up with the armor abilities, and then Halo 4 expanded that with the, you know, keep on going with that and the mods and stuff. I mean, if you go back to Halo 3, that was a very simple kind of gameplay system in comparison with stuff we got now.
It was, but if you look at Halo 3 compared to Halo Reach and Halo 4, Halo 3 had the worst shot recognition of all of the Halos.
And yeah, but you could...
No, but everyone seemed to just pass over that because it was such a fun game. And I don't say that as a bad thing, but that's all. But because Halo 3 was the game it was, people passed over all its weaknesses, and it had a lot of weaknesses.
And you can go back and you can identify those technical flaws and fix them. I mean, that's kind of just the invisible stuff. I think the big problem that a lot of people have with Halo Reach and Halo 4 are the intentional huge design decisions they made that completely changed the game, like the armor abilities and sprint, stuff like that. I mean, I think people just want them to look at Halo and try to go back to basics and build from there instead of looking at Halo 4 and saying, what more can we add to this already bloated system to make it better? And right. I think a lot of people would like them to just go back to Halo 3. And I mean, if you got to cut out a whole bunch of stuff that we've, you know, gained since Halo Reach, they would probably be all right with that. They'd be like, yes, this is more simple. This is the game that I enjoyed back when Halo 3 came out.
But I mean,
and
I think
a lot of people, go ahead.
No, sorry. I thought you were done. Go, keep going.
I was just going to say that a lot of people, I think, felt like Bungie gilded the lily when they made Halo Reach. They kind of took a system that was already kind of nearing perfection. I mean, that they only wanted little small tweaks to, and then they added the armor abilities and the sprint. I mean, with the, that was the armor ability, but I mean, it kind of changed the game completely. And people just kind of want them to revert back to a minimalist design philosophy.
I mean, that's why I think it's so important about first impressions, because I think Halo 3 got off on such a great foot that then people just, you know, said, well, you made a couple of mistakes now, but we still go. But Halo Reach and Halo 4 got off on such a negative foot. Halo Reach, obviously, with the armor abilities and Bloom, couldn't really recover from that. And then Halo 4, obviously, all the flaws it had at the start were just too big, and they could never recover from that. And that's the key thing, that Halo 5 needs to be so perfect at the start that it'll be fine after that, but needs to get off to a good first impression.
It does. There's definitely room for kind of, if you want to call it improvement or rollback, to some of the core values that Halo holds for a lot of different people. But you still don't want to stagnate the development process and having new things kind of added in there as well. I think personally that they need to really focus on what Halo is to most people and then see what little things they can add on to kind of make it the next generation of Halo FPS multiplayer.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, not to just constantly badmouth COD again, but you just, I don't want Halo to turn into COD where we just play the same multiplayer game every single time with just a slightly different campaign, but the exact same multiplayer game after game after game. I like the fact that the multiplayer is evolving. Yes, they may have made a couple of mistakes, but I like the fact that it is changing. It's becoming a little bit different.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's always one thing that's tricky to play with, though, is that how far do you change something? So,
who knows?
It's tricky, to say the least. We're going to have plenty of shows on this. Like, I keep on saying that every time we get into this.
We got sidetracked too,
but no, I mean, but it's something that, I mean, it's going to be brought up no matter what, because we're in that stage. And if you think about it, people, I don't know how aware people are about this, but 343 is in full gear right now in Halo 5 development. If there's any time to speak up, it's right now, because if they are planning to release next year, that means they have about 6 months from now until they're almost finished with the game in terms of major functionality.
I mean, personally, I think one of the key things for constant playability really has to be, I mean, obviously matchmaking, big one, but I think the biggest drop-off from Halo 3 Halo Reach to now has been the custom games. And there's the lack of Forge content that came out. And
there's multiple dynamics to that too, where people aren't interested in multiplayer, so there's not as many people to stay interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a whole, but Forge, you have to look at the whole economy of Halo.
I think Forge, they need to adapt on really, really good. I mean, they took a big steps with Forge. But I mean, there's great videos. I can't remember who it was, but there's a Forge video that just came out and basically highlighting loads of areas of Forge. I really, really hope 343 see that video, because it's a really good video. And I, every single point that the person said, I completely agreed with. And I said, you know what? Yes, I would love to see that. So, you know, so I know 343 pay a lot of attention to the community. So I just hope they do see that video and they take that on board as well.
Well, if it's a big video, then they probably have seen it.
Well, it was by a guy who has like 20,000 subscribers on his channel. So I hope.
It's a pretty decent size.
It's a pretty decent size. So I hope it does get, hope they do see it, because there's a lot of things that, it's just, those are customization things of Forge, and just, you know, removing stuff like removing the cap of objects and that kind of stuff, putting advanced options right. for advanced forges, and putting simple options for simple forges. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, think the month of February is going to be the ones where we really dive into the specifics of what we want to see with Halo 5 and kind of going back and comparing all the games. We're going to, I think around the end of January, the month of February is going to be the time frame we're going to get to that.
I'd like to be there for that. For a couple.
I'm sure we'll have plenty of different people. There'll probably be several different roundtables. If not, maybe just like one weekend roundtable where we have people come in.
Definitely get me in there with Greenskull.
I'm sure Greenskull will be included on that somewhere. There'll be lots of people included on that. Probably Ghost Ayame will probably be included in that. Maybe get some of the 343 guys in for a separate episode to do there as well. I mean, the doors are open to possibilities kind of across the board. So we'll see what happens. But moving on, we kind of finished wrapping up on the Turkey Bowl stuff. There's the different positions that you could hold. We didn't really cover those too much, but if you think about it, each one had a different primary weapon and a couple different special armor abilities and whatnot. So that was available out for the Thanksgiving weekend, and we'll probably play, if you come and participate in our Wacky Wednesdays, we'll probably play it on a couple of different weekends that were big bowl games. That will be coming up here in the next few months. Next on the bulletin from a couple weeks ago, they presented the community choice for the race rotational playlist that will be coming out this Monday. I still haven't heard any word of whether or not this is going to be using a Ricochet version of a race implementation, or if this is actually going to be using the race modded game type that will be officially released by 343 to support race. I would like to see it use that race game type, but I personally haven't seen any word on it. Have either you two seen anything? I mean, I haven't done much digging about it, but I haven't heard anything.
I haven't seen much about it, but are you talking about the race game type that because obviously there was the one race game type that had that big flaw that if people went through the shield at the same time, they didn't get the lap counter. There was another one.
So that was because that was King of the Hill.
Oh, okay, but that was a proper race game type.
Yeah, it's the one that we've been using for the past three months whenever I've...
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't just use that. I mean, I don't know that. I don't know if there's any kind of like legal issues in just like taking a mod there or like anything like that. Or
so they did that with Mini Slayer.
Oh yeah, of course they did. So yeah, I don't see why they just wouldn't take the mod, to be honest. And then it'd just be easy. Then they just have to basically customize some of the maps to fit correctly.
I mean, the only reason why I see that they wouldn't do that is because of stability issues with the game. But I mean, we've played it several times and we haven't noticed any lag or crashes or anything.
No.
Granted, we've only played it on one map.
It'd be interesting to see what maps they choose. Because obviously, not to spoil it, but obviously Longbow won the community choice. And, you know...
Well, that you spoiled this week's bulletin, thank you.
Oh, come on.
No, it's
anyone
who's
read the bulletin. But, you know, I don't... It's going to be interesting because I know you and I have talked about this, about a race concept, haven't we, Dust, for other things?
Oh, yeah.
And I just... Most of the maps that I see aren't really built for race. I think Longbow is one of those as well. I mean, clearly, I might be wrong, and I'm happy to be proven wrong, but just the general design of everything just doesn't seem like it's built for race. There's a few maps that are, but most of them aren't. So it means you know what maps they choose.
Meltdown is very much, in my opinion, it would have been very well suited.
Yeah, Meltdown would have been, but they didn't choose it. It's Longbow.
Yeah, I know. But I can see Longbow being a good race map. There are lots of different pathways that you can take.
There are lots of different paths. Before I just basically ban Meltdown, I probably should see what it's like. I have my doubts, that's all. I have my doubts.
Complex, I could see like as a rally point race. I don't see it like as a good race map.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
As far as like just having the capability out there to be raced for doing a map that's non-Forge Island, I think having Meltdown and Longbow up there as a choice were good picks. Harvest would have been nice to see in there, but again, that's a DLC map.
Yeah.
But it would have been cool if that would be like a...
I mean, personally,
like a bonus.
I would have loved to just see, I mean, just basically race maps with community-created race maps. Because those work so well.
So there have been some out there.
I mean, I hope they do release, because they like to do a little community DLC, like map week, don't they, occasionally? And some of the best maps get added into the playlist.
We haven't seen a community playlist. I mean, the last one we saw was the ones for the Ricochet courts.
Yeah. But, I mean, they might do that one for race. So it might be good to see that.
I mean, I would only see that if they actually do release officially the race game type. And if they do something for, like, next year.
Well.
I mean, but I personally haven't seen anything that says whether or not they are or not doing that.
No, neither have I, but I wouldn't see why they wouldn't.
I wouldn't see why they wouldn't either. But that's just me personally.
Yeah.
Hey,
Brent. Black Friday.
Yeah, yep. Black Friday. Brent, you have anything to chime in there on the whole race thing?
Haven needs to be a race map.
Yeah, I was thinking Warthogs Haven, only. But I don't exactly know how that is.
No. Warthogs?
Warthogs only.
I'm not sure they fit.
I don't think they fit. Maybe a foot race.
I don't know. Would Ghost be all right on Haven?
Yeah,
it seemed like they'd kind of.
No.
Mongoose Ghost would be the best one. Mongoose is the smallest vehicle.
Ghost would fit.
On the top?
Yeah. I think they'd fit. They'd fit down the sides.
No. I don't think they would fit between the pillars.
All you have to do is just do some careful maneuvering, you know? How about Wraiths? Wraiths on
Oh, yeah. Gosh. We're going to play Cat and Mouse again?
Oh, yeah. Cat and Mouse is awesome.
It was awesome. Yeah, Haven, no. That's, no. Exile would be an interesting one for race.
Yeah.
Black Friday, though. Black Friday. So, of course, these deals have come and gone, obviously. But, just to cover it, so we have it covered. Friday, November 29th was Black Friday, and they had different sales that were kind of spread out around the internet for people buying Halo content, so... The Waypoint store had some stuff on sale for t-shirts, hoodies, avatar stuff, artwork, and all that stuff. The Champions bundle was off, half off for November 29th as well, so you could get it for $5 if you didn't have it already. McFarlane Toys had some stuff on sale that you could use with checkout codes, discount codes that you could use. Rooster Teeth store obviously had their 10% off site-wide sale for the whole week of Thanksgiving. Toys R Us had some deals where you could pick up a couple figures for buy one, get one half off, or I think there was another set that you could get on there for half off as well. And then Omega, which is the it's not a sound producer, but the shoot, I'm blanking on the word, but the place that holds the soundtracks. Gosh, I cannot think of the word. I guess it is the studio. But they had the limited edition box set on sale as well. So that was Black Friday. If you got some of the deals, then you got some good savings. And if not, then you were like me and did not buy anything on Black Friday.
Yep. Same.
Yeah, I'm not a Black Friday shopper personally.
You see, Black Friday to me is basically, if there's something you want, then and it's in the sale, then fine, go buy it. But people just seem to buy stuff that they don't want. It's just like, yay, I got this special deal, it's 50% off. were you going to buy it in the first place? No. So really, you've just given them money for no reason because you weren't going to buy their product anyway. And that's what people do. People just see like, oh, that's a great deal. I might want that down the line and use once and then
throw it
away.
Yeah, it's impulse buying. Yeah.
But it's just idiotic to me.
I find it stupid as well, which is why I do not buy stuff on Black Friday, pretty much.
Ayo.
Ayo. And if I really care about the gift I'm buying for someone, I wouldn't mind buying it for full price.
Hmm.
That's right. Yeah, I just laid down some crazy stuff, y'all.
I mean, for example, the Champions Bundle. I mean, how long has that been out since August?
Yep.
Was it August? Yeah. So, to be honest, I mean, it's great that it was 15% off, but to be honest, I'm guessing that they probably didn't get many sales then because people who wanted it by now would have got it by now. People aren't probably didn't buy it now.
Well, some people just, they don't buy it at the time because they want to save up for other things and, yeah. You know.
At this point, I wouldn't see
the point. It's the whole thing where it's like $10, it's a little expensive. $5, okay, I don't mind getting it. There are people like that.
Maybe.
Don't be hating, Jack. Don't be hating.
I'm not hating. You're hating.
I wasn't hating.
You're hating.
I like how both of the people in the chat room don't like Black Friday either.
Hey, is there anyone who likes Black Friday in here?
Well, I'm sure there are probably quite a few listeners that would probably don't mind Black Friday.
Hmm. And probably a few rioters. So,
maybe. Anyways, screenshot spotlight for last week, obviously. Football. So we got some pretty interesting ones in there. I kind of like Cloud by Smiley Ken, Face Off by CBW010.
Which one's Nick Cage?
Oh gosh, you're funny. And I'm going to say Knockout by Obex. Who's over from Griffball Hub? So.
Face Off is probably my favorite.
That's go down bottom left.
Bottom left.
Yeah. No, bottom left. You just run it up. There you go.
You know what? Go to...
Foot one. Foot one.
Receptor 17's in here twice.
There you go.
So one of the big-time screenshot gurus, Receptor 17, he's in there twice. And showcasing the new Griff Orange in there as well. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but we all know what Griff used to be in Halo 4.
We're not getting into that debate here. So that was the bulletin from 2 weeks ago for Thanksgiving week. So we're all cut up now, and we're going to move to this week's bulletin. Yay! 343 Day coming up very, very soon. Of course, 343 Day being the 343rd day of the year, which is going to be on December 9th. So this coming Monday, 343 is going to be having a special day with special things to do. They're going to have a live stream, probably a couple giveaways, and all that fancy-dancy stuff. So, of course, going on some of the things that they're going to be doing, live stream, of course, they're going to be streaming from 1300 to 1700 Pacific time, that is 1700 to 2000 Eastern time. That would be for Jack, 2200 to 100 next day. If I did my plus five right. It's still plus five, right?
From Eastern, yes.
Yes. So, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, they'll be having a three-hour live stream. They're going to be having interviews and discussions from Kiki Wolfkill, Kevin Grace, Brian Reed, and other 343 employees. So, they're going to be having people playing in the background, and they're going to be doing interviews throughout the duration of the stream, talking about some of the stuff that they have been doing. Insights on Spartan Assault coming to Xbox One and Xbox 360. Commentaries, giveaways, all that fun stuff starting at 1 p.m. Pacific time on Monday. So I will be just getting, well, I'll still be at work at that time. Next on the list is the, is going to be an unlock for one of the helmets that you can get in game. So the Commando armor set is something that you unlock when you get the Dominion mastery commendation. So if you have not been able to get that, then of course you have the Dominion playlist, which is in the rotational playlist right now, to try to get some of your Dominion victories to unlock the full armor set. But in case you don't, then on December 9th, If you play one match, just one match anywhere, then you're going to be able to unlock the commando helmet for you to use. So if you want a fancy dancy helmet, then go play a game, just a single game on Monday, and that'll be getting you a fancy helmet. So I'm personally not much into the armor sets of this game as much as I was for Reach.
I'm just not anymore. I was, but just now, no.
Well, there's just so many.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad thing.
And, some of them were just ridiculous. Personally, I thought they were ridiculous.
And what was the one they just released? Like Prefect or Perfect? Was it Prefect or Perfect?
It would have been Prefect.
That was a good
one. You mean the Forerunner one, right?
That was, yeah.
All the ones in the Champions Bundle were cool.
Yeah.
But like the store exclusives for the Halo 4 stuff, those were just wonky.
Some of them were weird, but you know.
Most of them were weird.
Man, it made things more interesting when you ran into... I think that's the point. They wanted to add more customization to the game, which isn't... That's not a bad thing.
No. I mean, the footless one was cool. It's unicorn horn and everything, but...
No.
No? Yeah, we got some haters.
There's no. You're talking about weird.
It's like the katana from Halo 3.
I stopped wearing it. I
still wear it. I went back and put it on the last time I played Halo 3.
You wore it for... It would only being cool, as people constantly said, if you could take it off your back and use that for an assassination, like, now. If you could use that, take it off your back during an assassination...
Yeah, the one thing is, a sword like that wouldn't actually cut through Spartan armor.
Well, it should. Yeah, it really should. Maybe it has, like, imbued with special technology and stuff.
That was an excellent explanation there, Jack.
Hyperbolum armor.
Yeah.
So, yes, you can unlock the Commando Helmet on Monday, December 9th by just playing a matchmaking game if you have not unlocked it already. And, of course, if you want to unlock the full armor set, then you need to master those Dominion Victory commendations. So you have up until Monday to do so when the playlist changes over to Race. But we're not quite there yet. We're almost there. We still got a couple more things to address on the bulletin before we're heading there. The Resistor Unlock was supposed to be a tactical package that was going to be released for free across the board. They were still working on that, apparently. I completely forgot about it, to be honest, with the whole just having the Champions Bundle. But for having everyone being able to access it, that will be releasing on Monday as well. So whenever you boot up Halo 4 on Monday, for anyone that does not have the Champions Bundle DLC, you will have this Resistor tactical package available to you to select. And of course, Resistor allows you to retain full mobility while taking fire. So, you will not lose your sprinting if you get hit while you have this tactical package on.
Sounds like something that would be useful in the playlist we're about to talk about.
A little bit of speech there. Yes. So... On the 343 day, they are also having a special playlist that they will be playing on, probably in the stream as well. So it's a variant of Slayer, going to be called Speed Slayer, and it's going to be 6v6 combat. Score to win will be 800 points, 130% player speed, preset loadouts, each equipped with the resistor and mobility, tactical and support mods. Initial ordnance supported, random and personal ordnance is disabled. So lots of fast-paced moving going on through the 343 Speed Slayer playlist for December 9th.
Speed Slayer.
If there's one thing 343 is known for, it's making Halo really, really fast.
Yeah.
See, I don't know if that was a compliment or was it like a backhanded compliment or
I think it was just a statement of fact.
Yeah, I think it's just going of just 343 tried to speed up the game of Halo so freaking much. The maps that are going to be available is a whole freaking list of maps. It's probably every map in there except for maybe 5 of them. But it's Longbow, Complex, Daybreak, Exile, Outcast, Meltdown, Harvest, Wreckage, Vertigo, Vortex, Perdition, Ragnarok, and Shatter.
So basically no Haven, which is the one everyone wants.
A plethora of DLC maps in there included as well.
And if you don't have any of the DLC, you're kind of limited to three. Oh, no. Four. Yeah, four.
A few five. More than that.
Five.
Longbow, Complex, Exile, Meltdown, Vortex.
And Ragnarok.
And Ragnarok.
The hell is Vertigo?
It's the one in the Champions bundle, other than Pitfall.
Oh, that one, yeah. Of course it is, yes.
The ones with the shooty buttons that no one uses.
Uh-huh.
Because they're kind of pointless.
Yeah. Unless you want the achievement.
Unless you want the achievement.
Yeah.
So, those
everybody
are going to be...
Everyone wants achievements.
Everyone, well, most people want achievements.
Only the cool people.
Want achievements?
Only the cool people want achievements. I still need achievements from the...
Yeah.
Crimson DLC.
Yeah, same.
I have two achievements left to get.
I think I have two as well, but I think I still have some in the...
I think I have 84 out of 86. I need the Mantis Stomps and the Turret Kills. So...
Mm.
Next on the update for matchmaking is, of course, Race, and as Jack already spoiled earlier, Longbow was the elected winner for the map that will be in there for the community choice, which should be good. Again, hopefully they use the Race game type that people have come up with, and not something that is a spinoff of Ricochet, hopefully. It'd be nice, but we'll see. Next on the bulletin, kind of almost wrapping things up here for catching up on things, is Halo Escalation. This is something that they announced back at San Diego Comic-Con, continuing on with their comic book series. This one they're partnering with Dark Horse for Halo Escalation, which is a follow-up to Halo Initiation, which I still haven't actually read yet. I believe that the Halo Initiation was a 5-part comic series. I don't exactly remember. But this comic series is a spinoff directly after the events of Halo 4, following the adventures of the UNSC Infinity right after Requiem kind of went into its black hole of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of goes on there. There's a little description on here that kind of sets it up where it's going in. There's a page sample on there as well of, you guessed it, Sarah Palmer.
Hey!
We cannot get enough of Palmer.
Palmer.
Yep.
Eggheads.
So the first issue of Halo Escalation is going to be available via their mobile app on December 11th. But there are some wallpapers that are out there for your phone if you want those. For Windows Phone, Android, and iPhone. So if you want those, there's a interesting one of the Didact, and then there's one of Palmer and Lasky with the Infinity in the background. So I think I know which one Brent will be choosing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, the one where the Didact kind of looks like a brute.
I was about to say he looks like an orc.
Yeah, like from Warcraft.
Well, maybe that is a brute. I take that back.
No, I still think it's supposed to be the Didact. It's got to be the Didact.
Oh, no, the Didact's supposed to be dead.
Or is he?
Well, if you read the text before this, it actually talks about how the Infinity is assigned to go on a diplomatic mission between the Brutes and the Arbiter. So that might actually just be a Brute instead.
It doesn't look like a Brute. Like, the eyes are very Didact.
It looks like it's supposed to be the Didact.
Yeah, I mean...
Apart from the fact that his mouth is like that.
With the big teeth.
Yeah.
Underbite.
So if you're in the Seattle area next week, then they're actually having a special launch party at the studio with some special guests. So if you're there on Wednesday, December 11th, if you're in the Seattle area, from 6 to 8 p.m., they're having a special party in the Redmond Town Center. So you can go visit them at the Microsoft campus. I don't know if that's actually on the Microsoft campus, but it's... I mean, Microsoft's in Redmond, so it's really close to there. So they're having a special party if you're in the area. I'm sure that we have a few listeners that are local to Seattle there. So check it out if you're there. Pretty cool stuff. And of course, the screenshot spotlight for this week is snow. And I think for certain parts of the country right now and probably across the world, that is a very apt screenshot spotlight. At least I know for some people back of where I went to college, they're getting some snow right now. So I think this is one is very appropriate. Lots of cool ones in here in terms of just capturing. Okay, I honestly didn't mean to do that. And once you laughed, I finally just, yeah, light bulb clicked. And anyways, there are some pretty awesome screenshots in here. I'll rephrase that. Star Cannon, we've seen stuff like that one before. I still think it's cool, but it's nothing that's original. Caution Thin Ice is kind of funny, by Riot Rojas. Then we have Sub-Zero. That one I like a lot. Snowboarding. That one's pretty nice. I think that guy's on top of a mongoose. And I want to say Blood on the Ice. It's kind of a hit or miss with it with me, but it's I like the black and white with that one. Chill kind of is also up there. But the big ones for me would be Star Cannon, Caution Thin Ice, and Sub-Zero. And go figure, Sub-Zero is by Receptor 17.
You can do no wrong.
I need to send him a message to see if I can get him on the podcast.
Literally, just the backdrop for the episode online will literally just be...
It would just be an pictures. Album of his screenshots, and that's all it would be.
He should just play a game of which one is Receptor 17 and which one is someone Not. Else.
Yeah, exactly. You probably could play a game like that. What about you guys? What are your favorites?
I like Everwinter by Cryo Dragon. I know it's just the disintegration effect in black and white, but it's
still
clever.
Pretty cool. Yeah, it's still pretty cool.
Yeah. Star Cannon is just environment. I'm getting tired of environment screenshots.
It's just like, Earthborn.
Well, I mean, they did do... I mean, one of the things they did with Halo 4 is they did make it look really pretty.
Yeah, but I can go into the game and see that. Like, the point of screenshots is trying to be clever. Like, make your own... You know, image that's cool looking.
It was a lot more creative, is the word I want to use, in Halo 3. And Halo Reach had some pretty cool screenshots too, but Halo 3 was the dawn of a lot of things in terms of community content.
Hmm.
If you think about it, because that was when you had Forge, you had Theater, all that stuff. I mean, that was pretty much the advent of community content, other than maybe in Halo 1 and 2 you had custom games.
Yeah, that was some pretty cool stuff back then.
I mean, that was the explosion of community content.
Social gaming content.
I mean, if you went to social gaming, the clans in Halo 2 was a big start.
Yeah, I guess meaning like you can share video. Like sharing content outside of games.
Right.
Like Halo 2 was social just because you could play with other people, but if you did something awesome, you couldn't really prove it unless you had a capture card.
Right. Well, now with the Xbox One, you won't need a capture card when Halo 5 comes out.
Wait, what capture cards actually work with the Xbox One?
All of them do.
No, well, not all of them.
Well, all of them that have HDMI.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough, then.
As long as I can capture HDMI, then it works.
Hmm. Fair enough, then.
Yep. Also, we have the first list of the top 200. So... Wasn't anyone in there, at least just looking through it very quickly, that I recognized?
Because they've all moved on to COD.
Well, all the, like, named competitive people have, yeah.
Literally.
Well, not all of them, but I guess most of them, yeah.
Pretty much all of them have moved on to COD. And it's kind of weird that I am now watching a bit of MLG COD, kind of half-rooting for the Halo players. And I'm interested to see what happens when Halo 5 comes out, if it is really good competitive scene where they stick to COD or come back to Halo. But I don't know how I feel about it. I guess it does make sense they move over to COD, but I'm still a little bit bitter about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are kind of torn between what to think about it.
Yeah,
and some
people
blame 343 about it, and some people blame the pros, and I mean it's a whole blame game
thing
right
now. They just want to make money. This is where they want
to
make money.
Well, I mean, if that's kind of what they want to make a living off of, and there's no way to do it with Halo.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying they want to make money. They can't make money from Halo, so they go to COD. That's just, you know,
right.
Sensible decision. It's not less. It's just,
that's just the unfortunate truth of it.
And no, it'll just be interesting to see that if COD will seem like it's obviously staying competitive gaming, it'll just be interesting to see when Halo 5 comes out, who comes back and who stays there.
Right.
Because obviously there was that big exodus over towards COD, and then AGL came along, and people came back, and then there's a mass exodus again now that competitive gaming in Halo 4 is completely dead now.
Right.
So.
Yep. So for the top 200 we have this week, a lot of lower numbers than I was anticipating. I was anticipating quite a few 50s and a lot more in the 40s range, but we only have 150. We have 40s all the way down to 15. And then we have 30s all the way down to, scroll too far, 182. And then the rest are 29s. So I'm looking at this, looking at the ranks here, and I haven't gone in and played Team Slayer in a while, because whenever I'm on, I'm playing one of the objective game types or big team or something like that. But it seems like if you put enough effort into it, you can get on this board pretty easily.
I don't think it's going to be as easy as you think. Because I don't think you rank up like you rank up the other players. I think this is one you take a long, long time to rank up in. Like, you can win 10 games and you'll only be like a level 7. CSR 7.
Maybe, but... you did bring up a point earlier before we started recording that of how hard it was to... what playlist was it that they had the shirt awarded for?
It was Castle DLC.
It was the Castle DLC.
Yeah.
So that was a pain to level up in. So yeah, it could be. I mean, if it's that stringent, then yeah, it might take a while for them to level up.
In other words, that guy who's a level 50, what the hell, man?
He's probably playing it nonstop.
Yeah, I mean, is there a way for you to click on his profile and find out?
No.
Okay. Because, you can see from his CSR thing, he's not much into a level 50. He's literally only just past that level 50.
Well, so that bar will be relative to other level 50s. The fact that he's the only one there doesn't really say much.
Well, yes, but, surely he should be right at the top then, shouldn't he?
Well, he's at the top.
No, but, that white bar should be all the way to the right-hand side.
Oh, I'm not exactly sure what that white bar signifies.
The white bar signifies how far into your level 50 you are, basically.
Well, level 50 is a level. That bar is in relation to how well you play against other people that are up there on your near your rank.
No, but remember back in Halo 3, in Halo 3 you could secure a 50 regardless. If you won enough games on your 50, you could secure your 50 regardless of how you did. And that's the whole point. If that guy maybe only has like 3 games on his 50, and that's what that bar.
You can lose your 50.
You can, but like most. I doubt any...
Oh, I see what you mean.
It's basically the number of games you win after attaining your 50. I think that's what the bar is going to represent.
So,
and then when other people become a 50, that will change.
Godzilla in the chat said that the 200th player has 3,056 games in Team Slayer. I'm not sure how you pulled that number.
Well, the thing is, that might be beforehand.
Yeah. How many has he played since they've ranked it?
So they ranked it on the 1st.
Right, we don't. Well, we could. But
well, the only way to do
sit
that
there
is
and
go
count
back to
every
their
game.
Well, I haven't even.
Game
I've played.
Hang on, let me do this.
I think 1,200 games in Halo 4.
Well, he's played a lot of games, that guy, in last place. But I'm gonna search. I'm gonna find this out very quickly.
But like I said, that doesn't sound. They only started doing this recently, so he hasn't played 3,056 games in the last month or so.
Well, you never know.
I don't think that's actually possible.
Yeah, well,
I don't think that's physically possible.
No. That's probably his cumulative games in Team Slayer.
It would be.
Since the beginning of time itself.
Can you even break it down to where you can do it games per playlist? That
I
easily?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the stats.
I'm wondering how he's actually getting that number.
Actually.
So, but yeah. So that's the current list for the top 200. They're going to be modifying the list every week. So... if you want to try to get a chance at it, then go in and play the playlist. Another funny gap in here that I see is the difference between 3rd and 4th place is 5 levels of CSR. It goes 50, 48, 47, 42. So, I thought that was kind of interesting. One of the things that they mentioned on the bulletin as well is the announcement of the Halo Origins bundle, which is Halo Reach and Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary. So that is a bundle that you can get from your local GameStop, or you can buy it on Amazon or any other retailer that you can buy your games at. And it's $30. So if you are maybe a newer player into the Halo experience and you haven't played Halo Reach or Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary, then this would be a good time to pick this up. I'll probably pick it up just because collector thing. Yeah.
Halo 1 still has one of the best single player campaigns of all time of any game.
That and ODST.
Yeah, but ODST was a little different. I mean, that's like a... That was a very cinematic experience. Considering they made Halo 1 without knowing that Halo would become the phenomenon that it is today. Just an amazing game. It's the game that ignited the podcast that you have before you.
Indeed.
Okay. Guys, so, I'm just gonna search the second guy here. But I think I found a massive, massive flaw here. So far, you know that guy who's in first place? He hasn't played since the 27th of November.
You mean that leaderboards are wrong? Somebody's cheated to get to the top?
He probably got the 50 and just sat on it.
Yeah.
When did they start? When did they reset it?
I want to say it was 3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay, then maybe that's fine. Okay, I thought it wasn't
because it wasn't last week. It was either 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago.
I'm not going to say that the ranks are illegitimate, because 343, I don't know, but I guess they're going through and checking out all this stuff. I mean, it would seem like you would check one player.
I mean, if you get a 50 and you sit on a 50, I mean, there's not much you can do about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
I just don't care about leaderboards anymore, because every single online leaderboard since Xbox One, they have always been hacked or whatever, some glitch happens. Yeah. And the entire top 20 are just all illegitimate.
I don't think many people really care about it now either.
Hmm.
I mean, the whole thing of ranks and leaderboards and stuff hasn't really appealed to Halo players with the systems that they've implemented Halo 3, to be honest.
If you could know everything was completely legit, then people would be interested, and I would be interested. I mean, you go back to the old days of the arcade. I mean, that was the whole point. You'd try to get the high score to get on the leaderboard. And, I mean, you could cheat and get on the leaderboard on some of the games, but a lot of them, you know, that was legit. All the scores on top 10 were legit. You actually went and saw people play and win. You were trying to beat those people. I mean, competing on a leaderboard is fun, but it's not fun if everything is illegitimate and people are cheating and the system has glitches or it's getting hacked or whatever.
Mm.
It's just pointless. I mean, why would you cheat to get on a leaderboard? What's the point?
What's the point in trolling? What's the point in deranking? What's the point in all these things?
What's the point in modding?
Well, there are people out there who just do that kind of shit.
But it's annoying. It ruins it for everybody else just because you're being
an idiot. And they get a kick out of it, and that's the point.
Yeah.
There's always going to be people out there.
It doesn't always make sense, but there are those kind of people. So, moving on, we got some Podtacular stuff and some Halo Mole stuff to talk about. We're going to first go into the Halo Mole. So, the reason Jack is on here is because we're actually revealing our final contestant for those in the live stream. So, the few that tune into us tonight are going to get an early glimpse. Granted, it's only one day.
Do you want to put out a tweet first, just to see if anyone turns up very quickly?
If you want to, go for it.
But on ours, because I'm not signed in. Are you signed in to ours?
Fine, I'll do it.
Yeah, because I was just saying, you better do it soon, because obviously Griffball Hubcast is going to go live any second
They're
now.
They're already live.
Oh. Well, yeah, but they just probably. They just talk about. Are you in their chat?
Well, they posted 11 minutes ago that Griffball Hubcast was going live in 10 minutes.
Hang on, I'm going to quickly go in their chat and let them know.
So we've been working on a project called the Halo Mole for a while, and Jack is the mastermind behind the Halo Mole project. And for those that don't know, you want to explain what the concept is?
10 contestants picked at random, or I interviewed, not quite at random, but I picked them from applications and basically one of them I chose to be my mole. And they do loads of challenges, competing for Microsoft points, whilst nine of the contestants try and find out who the mole is, and the mole goes around sabotaging and trying to remain hidden. That's the basically the meat of it.
You could have made that sound a lot more elegantly, you know that, right?
I could have done. I could have done, but I think it's just been explained so much so far that people don't know what it is. That's people don't want to know by now, probably.
Well, when you put it that way.
Well, at least the people in the chat right here probably. Oh, hang on, we're streaming to other people who download the I forgot about that. I thought we were just talking to people who are live.
No, this is a podcast, dude.
I can't believe I literally thought we were only talking to people who are actually in the chat right now.
What you're saying now is
you really don't know what you're doing
eternity.
Here, don't you?
You don't invite me on much.
You don't stay up with Halo News much.
Oh.
Well, I mean, neither do I, so what's my excuse?
What am I going to do with you two?
Actually, I do stay up a little bit.
Well, at least you stay up on gaming news, like, on a wide variety.
I sent you that news story about the developer at 343 that left to go work for Sony, and she said she disliked the Xbox infrastructure or whatever.
Yeah,
that was
an
interesting story.
So, Dust, do you want to explain the Halo mole better than I can? Better than I can credit to?
So, the Halo mole is an adaptation of the Mole TV series, which aired back in 2001 in the US and the UK. I know for the U.S. version, it was hosted by Anderson Cooper, and the point of The Mole is it's basically like any other reality TV show. It has a certain amount of money that you can get at the end, but The Mole has a twist to it. So contestants, at least for this one, there are 10, and you have different challenges that the contestants will participate in to try to earn money towards a community pot. But after every few challenges or days for the actual TV series, people have to go through a set of quizzes that will kind of help determine if they know who the identity of the mole is. And for the results of the quiz, whoever answers the most incorrect questions about the mole is eliminated. And then when you get to the end of it, the person who survives all the quizzes and survives the elimination of the mole wins the pot, whatever was gained over the series of the challenges. And then the mole is identified. So it's an interesting concept because it's a game for the contestants that are in there, but it's also a game for everyone that's watching.
And it's one of the best game shows ever made. And why they canceled it, I do not know. And that's why I've always, always, always wanted to bring it back.
So, but during the challenges, one of the things that the mole does, though, is tries to sabotage the challenges and make sure that the contestants don't get the money, and that's why identifying the mole is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And why the mole has to be super sneaky.
And why, in about space of maybe a couple minutes' time, you're going to find out the 10 contestants.
Well, we'll find out the 10th contestant.
Well, if they haven't watched the other videos, they will know the 10 contestants.
Right.
Because at the end, obviously.
So for everyone that is listening to the podcast, it should make some sense. I mean, the visuals aren't necessary. But the first 20 seconds are going to kind of be blank with just music. But for those watching the stream, it's going to be a treat as the last contestant is being revealed here tonight. And of course, this video will be posted in a couple of days after the podcast comes out as well. So, but since I'm one of the people helping Jack behind the scenes, I figured we'd go ahead and show it here on the podcast. So,
yay!
Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the 10th contestant of the Halo Mole.
My name is Connor Sanvoss. I usually go by the name Ye Olde Apple online. Currently, I am 18 years of age while living in St. Louis, Missouri. And as of right now, I make videos for a website called ReadyUpLive.com.
And then there's Apple, who epitomizes the true nature of a comedian. You either love him or hate him. His comical approach to everything he does made him a must for the show. During his interview and tests, he was completely laid back and joking throughout. However, this is potentially just for show. Deep down, he has the competitive potential to prove himself as a viable contestant. He has decent skill in all aspects of Halo, including an in-depth knowledge of Halo's Forge system. Even with his carefree attitude and likability factor, he should not be overlooked.
So that is our 10th contestant for the Halo Mole. So for everyone that has been kind of keeping up to on track with everything that we've been doing, then you'll finally have all 10 contestants under your belt. For more information about the Halo Mole, of course, you can head over to thehalomole.com where we have the rest of our contestant profiles. And we have the official trailer up there as well. And it's where we will be releasing our episodes when that time comes. So we want to, of course, thank everyone that's supported us so far. And this is kind of the platform we initially launched the announcements on and everything. And it's nice to kind of come finally bring it back around for all the contestants, that is. And we'll be back on, of course, when the show is finally out there for everyone to watch and actually have the competition done. So it's pretty exciting. There are some speed bumps along the way because it is something that's new and unexplored and kind of unique in terms of doing something machinima style, in my opinion. So I hope everyone that is on board with this project, or at least on board and supporting it, really take the time to share it with friends and watch everything with it. So, but all the support that we've gotten so far, really appreciate it. And we're really excited to get this out to you guys when we finally get that under our belt.
Yeah.
It's a long and daunting process.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff to go through. A lot of video footage and audio footage we need to go through.
Yep. So that is the 10th contestant again. So
it's Halo Apple. Mole.
Check it out, halomole.com. And hopefully something special will happen with that series as well. Don't want to get into too many details about that. We've hinted at it here and there, but until we have a firm standing on it, we don't want to say too much about it.
Exactly.
So we have a few show notes in terms of submissions to go through, since we had a couple of those sent in over the holiday break, and we're going to read those and wrap up the show, and then we will let you guys go on your merry ways until next week. So, two submissions. First one we have is from Griffith050. He says, "Hey guys, I just wanted to shout out and say I love the show. Major Halo fan about all I play anymore. The last 6 months I have slowly but surely attempted a complete Halo canon run through, including the games and books. I was looking for anything else Halo and was looking for some podcasts to shed some light on some lore questions I had. Then I found y'all. I know it's a little late, but it's a great show. I have been going back and listening to a lot I've missed, and it's been very helpful to my Halo nerd quest. Y'all do a great job every week. I'm a little jealous y'all get to sit and talk Halo so much, but I really enjoy the show and hope to listen for a long time. Keep up the good work." So thank you, Griffith. We enjoy doing the show. We've been enjoying doing the show for, at least for me, 5 years. Brent's been on and off doing it for longer than I have. So we enjoy coming back and talking about it every week. We think the Halo universe is a vast and wonderful place with lots of different varieties of Halo communities and Halo people, and it's just really, really cool. And we hope it's here to stay for a good while.
Yes. At least another year.
Until we get bored.
When Halo 5, if it bombs, it's over.
Between Halo games, I mean, we still rock Halo content.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, this has been the key one to try and continue a Halo podcast during this steady decline of Halo.
Well, we've been doing it.
I mean, if you guys can keep this going until about... E3 is in June, isn't it?
We'll see some stuff at PAX, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, well, if you can keep it going until the first bits of Halo 5 details come out, you've made it through the rough point, and you're going to go straight back up into Halo 5.
Yeah.
So you're good for the next year.
Yeah, we know.
Well, the bulletins have really helped. I mean, yeah. We have a structured set of Halo news we get every single week.
We've had to, I mean, on the past, we've relied on community content, which is good. We haven't really focused as much on it as I would have liked to. One of the things I want to kind of change about the podcast come with the new year, but we'll get into that in a little bit. Brent, do you want to read the next one?
Yes. Till Griffin says, "Hey, Podtacular, I've listened since fall of last year, and I think you guys put out great content. Keep up the good work. You guys said you wanted some submissions on ideas for topics. I'd love to see more content on Halo 5, like speculations on what might happen with the story and theories on what multiplayer will be like. I'd love to hear what sort of decisions you guys would make if you designed Halo multiplayer. What kinds of weapons would you introduce? Would you guys want the option to play as elites? You know, that sort of stuff. Also, hearing your worst Halo-themed pickup lines would be really funny. By the way, if you have a cool guest that understands the game competitively, look up, or if you want a cool guest, look up Saucy on Beyond Entertainment. He does a really good job, and I think he'd be really good if you wanted to have a multiplayer-focused episode. Thanks for producing Podtacular. Keep on fragging that Halo 5 hype train. P.S. This seems really out of the blue, but would you guys be interested in seeing a Halo attraction at Universal Studios or Disney?" I wish there was a Halo Land I could go to. Halo Land.
Just do it. Great. Yeah. Just get a plot of land. I'm sure there's somewhere in the Microsoft campus they could probably just set up a Halo theme park.
They have enough money. I mean, just buy an
island.
What's
more money?
I mean, just buy an island.
Buy an island.
Then why not? I mean, Madagascar's not doing anything. You know, just say, yeah, we'll have this, and just
that's
set
cold.
Up Halo.
That's cold.
It's not. I mean, Ben Stiller went there and screwed up the whole place and, you know, shit.
Set it up near Mount Kilimanjaro.
What?
Kilimanjaro.
What? That would
be... That was in Halo 3. That was an important part of Halo 3. You look out over Mombasa and there's Kilimanjaro.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I thought you were literally just referring to the medal.
That's where the librarian died, I think. Am I right?
I'm confused now. That,
my Halo
no.
was not good.
What?
Huh?
Wait, the librarian died at Kilimanjaro? What?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought she died at Mount Kilimanjaro. Count Miller.
Okay,
if I were
we're
a vampire, that's
on.
Who I would be, Count Kilimanjaro.
Moving on. Oh, we just...
I don't know. We'll just move on.
I was thinking like a mountain of caramel. Caramel Jaro.
But yeah, Halo Land would be great. I would love that. But what kind of rides would you want? I mean, we'd have to have like an amazing roller coaster.
I mean, you could do something with like Space Battle. I mean, or the Keys Maneuver. I mean, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, but how many people going to Halo Land are going to know what the Keys Maneuver is? I mean, we would, obviously.
If they've read the books, they know what it is.
I don't.
Well, there'll be a little history lesson for you, Jack.
You know those sometimes you get those rides where you're in like a seat with a friend, you've got guns and you have like a score.
Oh god, that would be cheesy as hell.
Yeah, that's
I mean, there is fun, I guess though. They could do it right.
Yeah, if you do it right.
The guns would have to be DMRs.
BRs.
You're going to do a 3-shot burst.
Exactly. You go back to the BR.
Real kickback.
Also, wasn't Saucy on the podcast?
Yes, he was. I was going to address that. Yes, he has been on the podcast before.
I was pretty sure he was.
No, he was on when we did the coverage for Beyond Entertainment. Yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty sure he was, but you know.
Yeah, he's been on the show before.
Also, can I see these notes? Because I don't see the notes. Just saying.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. I'll send them to you. It's okay.
Thanks.
But yeah, so Saucy has been on the show before. It was for when we had them on to announce, well, not announce, but kind of cover Beyond Entertainment when Halo was still big for Halo 4. Probably get them on the show next year at some point. We'll probably get them on when we talk about some of the discrepancies and the improvements for Halo and all that good stuff. So we'll get to it for sure.
What about our Halo pickup lines?
Halo pickup lines.
Yeah, that's what he wanted. Teal Griffon. He wanted also hearing your worst Halo theme pickup lines would be a really funny bit.
Wait, where did you...
Third paragraph.
Oh.
Let's see something
from the
chat. My
worst Halo theme pickup lines.
Let's see if we have any from the chat that are good.
Gosh, I'd have to think about that a little bit. I'm not good with just like off the cuff pickup lines. I'm not good with pickup lines in general. I'm bad with girls as it is. I don't know.
You gotta make
probably something to do with I'm not going to say that because that could be taken so many wrong ways.
Okay, go on, say it. You can't.
Has to do with the plasma grenade. Has to do with something to do with the plasma grenade.
Okay.
Being stuck to you or something like that.
Ooh.
I don't know.
You got standard ones, you know. Is that a sword in your pocket? Kind of thing, but I don't know. You have to come up with some clever ones, like using the names or somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think about that, to be honest. I'll try to think of one for next week, but yeah, I'm not usually good at those, to be honest. Not my forte. Not at all. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see kind of a Halo attraction theme park. I'm not sure exactly what they would do with it, but I could definitely come up with ideas.
Yeah, I think it'd be more the kind of thing that they do like a section for Universal Studios rather than like a whole thing. But obviously, they need to make a film.
But yeah, I mean, you could do the shooting range thing. You could do the like throwing grenades or whatnot for like the little, you know, they had the little carnival ones where you could like throw rings or throw balls or those things. You could do like something with the plasma grenade or frag grenade or whatever. I mean, there are things you can do with it. It's
you got a good Halo one, which is just like, hey, are you Cortana? Because I want you to yank me.
Wow. that's a pretty good one.
Just walk up to somebody random who has absolutely no idea what Halo is. Just tell them that. See what happens.
That's gonna work.
Moving on. Alice's Pieces writes in, hey Dusty and everyone else at Podtacular, first time poster. Wait, really?
Sorry, not.
Is this the first submission that he's had?
Well, really.
Wow. Unless you count Twitch chats, which technically no, but
no one does.
Wow. Newish listener. I wish I could say long time listener, but I only discovered the site about 1.5 years ago. That's a long time, dude. If you've been around for 1.5 years, that's a pretty good commitment. Anyways, enough about me. A few weeks back, there was a question of the week regarding subtitles for various Halo games, and I know you don't get many replies unless more came in than the last two podcasts and I haven't heard them yet. So here are some that I thought of. For Halo Reach, Halo, Retcon or Reach, Canon Revived. Oh boy. Halo 2, another Halo. Halo 2 Gravemind, or Halo 2... We regret being alien bastards. Halo 3, finish the fight. Man, I think we had another one send that one in. Also, in the previous episode, don't remember which, you were talking about how Spartans should be able to dual-wield BRs since they can flip tanks with their minds, apparently. Since there is no animation for it. I think being able to dual-wield any weapon would be a cool feature for campaign, customs, and machinima, and maybe matchmaking tool, too. Dual railguns and action sack, anybody? Finally, I just wanted to say that I love the show, especially when it's about the fiction. Great job, Alice's Pieces. P.S. I think you might like this video.
Halo meets metal, apparently.
I think I've seen that one, actually.
Yeah, I've seen that, too.
So, yep. But yeah, cool. 1.5 years is definitely a commitment, dude. Maybe not as long as some other people, but if you've been listening for that long, it's definitely quite a while. And, the Halo Reach one, Halo Retcon to Reach, Canon Revised is pretty funny. But yeah, so last one, Brent.
All right, GameDude03 says, hey guys, real quick one here. I thought you could have the top 5 or 10 list about the good things about Halo 4, but don't go on some tangent. Ask the listeners about what they would like on the list and stuff like that. Gotta go, see you later.
Like we wouldn't go off on a tangent.
I mean, you can't help it. It just happens.
I mean,
that's the thing about tangents.
Yeah, tangents happen for something like that.
I love them.
Well, when you're talking about a top 5, top 10, you're pretty much talking about a top 5 and a bottom 5 things. Yeah, that will just become natural.
No.
It pretty much would be. Because there's always going to be.
What if you had a top 10 list that was completely different than your top 5 list?
That wouldn't make any sense.
Would it make any sense?
No.
I mean, they're two independent lists. They could be different. Nobody said they had to be the same.
Usually your top 5 is a subset of your top 10.
You would have thought so.
Yeah, you're thinking inside the box.
What are you thinking?
Are we really going to have this discussion?
I told you I was going to go on a tangent. No, yeah, we could Top 10 thing. I'll do my top 5 because I don't think I can think of the top 10 things. I'd really have to reach for it, but I like more customization for Spartans. You look cooler. I like the idea of Spartans being like there's a story for multiplayer. Like it technically makes sense within the universe now. I like Sarah Palmer. Really? I enjoyed the Forward Unto Dawn story prior to Halo 4. Like that was a cool way to build up into Halo 4. I consider that part of the Halo 4 experience. Number 5, I don't know.
Wow.
The Mantis is pretty cool. And that's probably further up on
what
the
about
list.
The Forge.
I mean, it's been there though, and it's
Certainly a lot better.
Yeah, but is there more stuff? I mean, the less people that have been playing. Well, I guess now the people who really, really enjoy Forge are even. I mean, they've had all the experience, and now they have better tools. They can make better stuff. But I mean, it's not like it's Halo 4 did it. Like Halo 4 improved on it in ways that you would expect them to. I mean, if they, it would have been a travesty if they had just gotten rid of it or neglected to make any improvements.
You know what they need to do with the Halo 5 Forge? Project Spark.
Yeah.
Seriously. Make terrain that you can do in Project Spark, import it into Halo 5, like have a Halo's textures pack that you can use in Project Spark, import it, and then have a Forge palette that you can go in and place Forge objects.
So that's literally what one of the things in that guy's video said. Just like, it's all very well and good having all this stuff, but it all looks the same. So all these maps, however unique they may be in design, they just look the same. You need to have texture packs. You need to be able to color stuff, not just the outlines. You actually need to be able to fully color stuff, make rust on some things, make them shine or something. Just make them different. Don't just make them the bland gray.
Well, I said when we saw the stuff for Forge on Reach was have something where it's a human palette, a Forerunner palette, and a Covenant palette. I mean, you can have those three palettes right off the back, and you have three different color schemes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can do one that's like desert, you can do one that's like rainforest or marshy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, so that's the submissions that we have for you guys. So thank you for sending them in. If you want to send in your own submissions, you can do so by sending them to submissions@podtacular.com, or you can submit them to us by using the big green submit button on our homepage as well. Make sure you do the whole social network thing. We are on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, all that stuff. We have the website, of course, podtacular.com. Make sure you go over there. By the time this episode's out, like I said, for episode 400, all of the episodes, prior episodes, will be available for you to go and listen to from the site. They will not be on the iTunes feed, but you can go through and listen to them via the Flash Player, or you can just right-click and download the podcasts. There will be links up on all the posts as well. So definitely go check that out. If I know some people wanted to be able to listen to all the past prior podcasts, so you will be able to do so now. So that is pretty cool, I think, for some people. Been meaning to go back and do that for a while, and I just finally taken the time over the Thanksgiving break to get that done. Forums are not yet in a position where I'm ready to come out with them quite yet, but they will be very soon. So hopefully by the next podcast, we'll have those out. But the podcasts will all be up for you guys' entertainment. So that step is done. Looking forward to getting some more stuff worked on as well. I mentioned that I would be talking more about some of the other changes that will be coming down the pipeline. Some of them I'm still not ready yet to talk about, but one of the things is, forget if I mentioned this on the last show or not, but the static background, it's not that pleasing to look to, really.
No.
And for people that come into the stream maybe looking for a Halo 4 game, just having the static picture, it's like, what is this? Having a little animated background makes it look like that we're actually doing, like actually something's actually going on instead of just a static image with people talking. So we're going to be pulling that out by the turn of the year. So the first podcast in the new year, I think, will be when we'll probably see resemblance of that actually coming out. So working with my After Effects skills, we may have or I'm hoping to have something out by then. And they'll just keep improving from there on.
Which be improved by the Halo Mole.
I know, right? Mm. It kind of goes hand in hand.
Mm.
So that is the other thing I wanted to talk about. There's still plenty of other things coming down the pipeline, but I wanted to kind of give a little more light on that. Forums, of course, next week, for sure. All the podcasts are out for your listening pleasure right now. And we'll have more updates next week. I want to thank Jack again for coming on the show, for kind of going through and helping us reveal the final contestant of the Halo Mole, which is pretty exciting, a pretty big milestone for us. So
it means that we're finally done with that, and now we have to,
And now we got more stuff to work on. Yay!
Yeah.
It's all good, though. It's all good. One last thing before we leave is we have our Halo Community Appreciation Giveaway. So this is something that we announced on the 400th episode, and it's a giveaway that we're running for everyone to go and show their appreciation for the community or communities that have served them the most or the best during their time amongst the Halo peeps, so to speak. So there are lots of different Halo communities out there. We're not the only one, believe it or not. HBO, Griffball Hub, Forge Hub, 405th Source, a lot of different communities out there that really kind of show the dynamic and diversity and complexities of what the Halo community actually is. So in an effort to kind of showcase what the communities have done there for everyone, we're having a giveaway where you can submit something. It could be in terms of a letter, or you want to make a video or Forge art or anything that you want to send in. It literally could be anything. We have a page up on our website for the Halo Community Appreciation Giveaway with all the rules and details and prize packs, which include avatar items, mega blocks, certain affinity swag, San Diego Comic-Con exclusive stuff, and really cool things to go on there. So the full list is over there. So if you head over to our website, again, that's podtacular.com. And there's a link on there for the Halo Community Appreciation. Halo Community Appreciation Giveaway. So check that out. It's running until December 20th. So it's a total of 3 weeks since we made the initial announcement last week. But check it out. And we really want to see some cool content from you guys and see what you guys represent as showing your appreciation for Halo communities and what they've done for you. So thank you guys for listening into the show. Thank you, loyal listeners, for tuning in. I keep on running into more and more people that say they really appreciate the podcast. So it's kind of this weird turn of, even though our listenership is down, I'm getting more and more feedback from people actually really enjoying the show. So I really appreciate you guys being out there listening to us and really supporting it. I hear your cries for more lore. It will be coming down the pipeline. Next week's podcast actually will be our Primordium discussion. Primordium's the second one. So we will be having a few special guests on there as well. So more book discussions for you lore people. Definitely do not want to miss it next week. And of course, a lot of the stuff from the big bulk of the first part of the book we'll kind of be glancing over. It's the big juicy bits at the end that we'll really focus on for those that have read it. If you haven't read it, then it might be something you want to wait until you finish the book to listen. Or if you're not really looking to read the books and looking for this to be kind of your supplement to what the books are about, then go ahead and listen to it. And we'll see you guys next week right here on the podcast. We do our custom game nights on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And that is full of some crazy and fun custom games that we do. We had some interesting maps that we got to play with last night. Some new ones from Pete the Duck. So we have a few people that come on and show off some maps during those as well. So if you want something to scratch your Halo itch, then this is definitely the perfect opportunity for you to come and hang out with some cool people and get some cool gaming in for Halo, at least. So, with that said, on behalf of Brent and Jack and myself, thank you guys for listening. We will see you next week.
Keep on fragging 343 Day.
Keep on fragging Halo pickup lines.
Keep on fragging the Halo mode.